hear about the SEC?
Actually, I don't have any more news than you do. I turn to you guys to get my news.
Okay.
And, so I'm waiting for y'all to give me the answer.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find some new rivalries out there. We may know something before the end of the week. Certainly before the end of the week, we'll know what the president's idea is as far as jobs is concerned. What are your thoughts as we prepare to hear from him tomorrow night?
Well, Scott, history gives us two great examples of policy levers that the government can pull that work and those that don't. Unfortunately, the Obama administration is following those from the Roosevelt administration back in 36 through 38 when we went into a second dip. And it's doing all the wrong things, spending too much money, borrowing too much money. It's giving too much power, too much deference and power to the unions, and it's regulating like crazy. To me, the better example in history that works, and most of us remember it, is in 81 through 84 when Reagan inherited a bad economy. He was able to turn around through have a tax reform and reining the regulators back in. So I'd rather go with Plan B, but I suspect on tomorrow night we're going to hear just a rehash of the president's original ideas, which, again, just have not worked for us.
Well, now, one of the things I was looking back at this, they had put together something they called the Infrastructure Job Bank, where the projects had received up to 50% of their financing in federal money, and the rest ideally would come through some sort of private investments, I'm guessing including Wall Street. That didn't gain traction then. Is that more plausible an idea now to have an infrastructure job bank? Do you think that's something he might propose again?
Well, if he did propose it again, we've got to propose it in a different way than what we did before. I don't want it to be another great big stimulus pork barrel fund, if you will. These public-private partnerships work, and if we'll do them the right way and focus on the things where we need help that we know that people work, like roads and bridges and infrastructure like that, that'll be fine. But if he wants to go down these green money trails that where you're seeing companies have gotten old, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of federal money go bankrupt, I don't want to go that direction. If he wants to start and build a whole new infrastructure project that we can't afford, like high-speed rail, I would be against that. But if we're going to focus on the things that we already own, and we know where when we spend the dollars that you have a multiplier impact, people go to work, I'd be fine with it. But I don't think he's going to go there. I think he's going to try to drive us in directions that are unproven.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning as Congress gets back. After about 6 weeks off, now part of that, you were in the district. Kind of give us a thought of maybe some surprising comments that you might have heard from your constituents while you were out in the district in the break.
Well, I enjoyed my time in the district. We spent a fair amount of, as you know, we had some town halls, and you participated in that and did a great job as the questioner in one of them. We have meetings with local leaders. We met with employers. We met with military men and women, with veterans, and I spent some time in our local offices. And I don't know that anything I heard was a surprise. I think the surprise that I picked up more than anything else is the high level of frustration of the American people and what's going on in Washington. I'm frustrated as well at a pretty high level, but I think most people are even more frustrated than me with the slow pace of doing the right thing in Washington.
Story.
So I've come back, you know, recommitted to try to keep the pedal to the metal on getting the federal government fixed.
Story in USA Today yesterday quoted you, among other members of Congress, with the idea that it's not so much laws that are being passed as regulations that the government's putting on industry that are making things difficult.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for instance, we've got a power plant just down the road in Carlos that supplies all our local power to Bryan College Station. And the EPA has been writing regulations so quickly, these guys, which own this plant, and basically it's all the utility users in Bryan College Station as well as other municipalities in Texas, don't know if they're going to be able to make investments to keep that plant running or not. That plant is very clean compared to what it was when it was commissioned back in the late 70s, but the EPA continues to load it with more and more regulation to the point where you can't keep it running today. And there's no backup plan in terms of where we go for our energy. That's just one local example of how the EPA is costing us jobs and costing us economic activity and causing huge uncertainty. We've been trying to roll back regulations since the original continuing resolution back in January and February. It didn't get through the Senate, though, but we're going to continue to try to defund all these agencies that want to go down these trails.
Well, my thought is, but they're traveling at two different speeds. They can write a regulation and put it in place, and it's there. Congress, because it moves so slowly, I mean, how in the world can you ever catch up to undo, even if you started today?
Under the current environment that we have, we can never catch up as the legislators, which is really pretty sad when you think about it. The way the Constitution works is we pass the laws, and the administration is supposed to enforce them. Unfortunately, what Congresses have done over the years is write vague laws and then let the administration write the rules, essentially put the wrapping paper on these laws, and they take them in directions they were never intended to go. We don't have a mechanism in Congress that works well today. We've got something called the Regulatory Review Act, but the president can veto the findings that we have or the rollbacks that we do. So we've got a new piece of legislation called the RAINS Act, which is to roll these regulations back in and to make sure the bad regulations don't get written in the future, but it'll never pass the Senate and get signed by the president. So we're forced to defund these things today, but it's a very slow process, and then you've got to have a big fight with the Senate. And since we don't control the Senate, since the conservatives don't control the Senate, it's hard to get things fixed.
It's amazing that this, talk about unintended consequences, I'm sure the founding fathers never thought that there would be regulatory commissions that would usurp the opportunity for private industry to do their job.
Well, I mean, we had an earthquake up here a couple of weeks ago, and several people said it was the founding fathers rolling over their graves, and I don't doubt it. You're exactly right. This is not what was envisioned in the Constitution, is to basically turn the legislative activity over to the executive branch of the government. We're trying to get it back in our hands, but it's a tough process when you've got a divided Senate and House.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. Before we talk again, it'll be the first opportunity for the Super Congress. I don't necessarily like that phrase very much, but their chance to meet. I saw a story where Jeb Hensarling, Republican from Texas, and Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington, who basically co-heads of this thing, have never actually even met before. I find that ironic, and in that they will try to guide this group of 12 to come up with something, and the clock's ticking on it.
Well, it is. The Select Committee will start working this week, and as I said during our town halls, I normally would not like to have this type of activity going on up here. Unfortunately, given how big the problem is and how little time we have to act, it was really the only sort of a tool that we had that could make the types of cuts that need to be made in that short window of time. I do think that from the conservatives' viewpoint, that we put the right people on it, and I'm hoping that we can get one or two people from the other side to go along with us on these things.
And again, that's what this.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, that's what this... I want to hear. If you were on there, I would like to hear that. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
If I were on the Select Committee, I'll tell you what I would lay on the table. I would take the House budget that we passed back in April, which fixes Medicare, which fixes Medicaid, which fixes our spending problem, and I would lay that on the table and say, this is the first thing we need to work on. The second thing I would take is the work that the Ways and Means Committee has done, which actually came out of that same budget, which provides for comprehensive tax reform that takes the United States from having one of the least competitive tax systems in the world to having one of the most competitive tax systems in the world. And then last but not least, I would put the GAO report that came out early this year that identified tens of billions of dollars of waste and duplication and ineffective programs, and I'd lay that on the table. And I think you've got more than enough there to fundamentally fix the federal government's spending problems and its taxation system. Whether or not that'll happen is anybody's guess, but that's what I would do, and I think that's what Jeb and Dave Camp and Fred Upton, at least from the House, will do. I'll be curious to see what everybody else does.
And before we speak again, Friday night, or rather tonight, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Center in California, the Republican presidential... hopefuls are going to get together. What are you going to watch that, and what are your thoughts as that's about to unfold?
Well, yes, I am going to watch, Scott. I know who I think the better candidates would be for president, and I'm curious to see how they're going to do on a bigger, more national stage. It seems like almost everybody is going to run is in it. I mean, we don't know about Sarah Palin yet, but it seems like most of the big players that are going to be in the final sets of primaries are there, and it'll be interesting to see how they are with all the bright lights on all of them.
Exactly. Well, for the folks who aren't suffering political fatigue, next 48 hours, 72 hours ought to be pretty interesting. Congressman Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview. It'll be archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Well, I'd ask everybody to continue to pray for rain and for our first responders that are trying to take care of our local tragedies.
That's for sure. Thanks now.
Thank you.